Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Recently in November, four New South Wales SES workers were awarded one of our nation's highest awards. They were given the Bravery Medal for their rescue of the people during the floods on the 30th of March 2017 in the town of Mwilumba. The floodwaters had been building, and then finally the levee broke and the water rapidly spread throughout town. In their floodboats and throughout the night, these men rescued people trapped in their homes, those in wheelchairs, pregnant women, elderly, and children. The water was running so incredibly fast, they could not turn their boat around. At one point, around 3 a.m. in the morning, in the dark and the rain, they were flipped overboard. On another occasion, they hit a submerged car and the boat tipped over on its side. But they continued to keep going back to those who needed rescuing. These men are heroes. Their community is grateful, and many owe their lives to their efforts. Governor General David Hurley says, "The Australian Bravery Awards recognise and celebrate Australians who, faced with a dangerous or perilous situation, think not of themselves or of their own safety, but about others. These individuals deserve our admiration. They are an inspiration and examples of the sort of selfless sacrifice that we can all aspire to." Now, our culture has rightly a great admiration for those who display bravery and sacrifice for the sake of others. We regularly honour them, whether they be emergency services or defence or in other areas of life. They're an inspiration and show selfless sacrifice. Well, we find this same selfless sacrificial love in Jesus. I want us to look at our passage today on this Good Friday through a lens of sacrificial love. Our story picks up at Luke 22:39. If you have a Bible, then you can follow along. And if you've never picked up a Bible, then I thoroughly recommend reading from the beginning of Luke, and you'll get to know this Jesus. Well, after Jesus shares the last evening meal with his followers, Jesus is found praying on the Mount of Olives just outside Jerusalem. His heart is heavy, and he prays to his heavenly Father. And in this, Jesus shows his love for God the Father, to follow God despite feeling and knowing what is ahead. In the darkness, Jesus is then arrested. The mob is led by a person who was in Jesus' inner circle. Judas cruelly betrays Jesus with a kiss. He betrays his own rabbi, the one who is shared life with, the one who is meant to serve and learn from. In fear, one of the disciples cuts off the ear of one who had come to arrest Jesus. Jesus' response, "No more of this," and heals this man's ear. In response to the betrayal, Jesus responded bravely with love, not just stopping the violence, but caring for those that sought to harm him. Then after Jesus was taken to Jerusalem, to the high priest's house, Peter, another one of Jesus' inner circle, in fear disowns ever knowing of Jesus three times. Peter's love of Jesus in that moment came second to the fear for his own life. This fear of Peter's is mirrored by Jesus' other disciples who abandon him on the Mount of Olives. All through the rest of the night, we're told Jesus was mistreated by those guarding him. They verbally and physically assaulted Jesus. They blindfolded him and mocked him, gutless and loveless. Jesus then hauled up before the religious leaders, passed on like a football between Pilate to Herod and then back to Pilate. Jesus is falsely accused of political and religious crimes. No proper process is followed. Pilate, to his credit, says, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." However, this moment of integrity soon passes when the crowd cries out for his blood. Pilate caves into public pressure. Ironically, as a result, a political enemy of the state, Barabbas, is released in exchange for Jesus. Within the halls of power, there was no love for justice, no brave, sacrificial love for the people they were meant to serve, only a holding on to the power that they had. In what seems like an agonizing forever, Jesus is then mocked, sneered at, beaten by the Roman soldiers as they take him and put him on the cross. Soldiers are meant to protect their people and preserve the peace, but not here. They join the crowds in their abuse of Jesus and take it to the next level of depravity. And Jesus' response? Jesus prays to his heavenly Father a second time and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." At a time when he had every reason to be angry and call down fire from heaven or think of his own safety, Jesus bravely shows great selfless and sacrificial love. He continued to endure the suffering as it was for a greater purpose. On the cross, suffering the same punishment as two criminals on either side, one of the criminals decides to join the crowd by getting stuck into Jesus. But on the other criminal sees Jesus as the true hero. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." What an amazing response from an unexpected corner. This criminal uses the remaining ounce of his life and breath to defend Jesus, admit his punishment is deserved, and then to boldly ask Jesus to save him. What a contrast. Not a friend to betray or abandon when things got tough, or to mock or mistreat Jesus along with the crowd. No, this criminal with no name, nothing to his credit, defends and requests salvation from a man who, from an earthly perspective, is helpless and is mocked for it. So why is Jesus on this cross then? How can we say he is showing love? How can we say he is brave for enduring pain, enduring the depths of human hate and abuse and indifference? Well, the second criminal sees it, sees the love. Despite all earthly appearances, actually sees the arm of a man reaching out at 3 a.m. from a flood boat who can save him. He says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." In that painful moment, the criminal puts his trust in Jesus, and this was enough for Jesus to say, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." You see, God's rescue mission in Jesus is to create a new people. And for that to happen, he first needed to pay the price for sin. It's not by accident that Jesus died an undeserved criminal's death. And so not just his death, but also the manner for which Jesus died shows us all too clearly what he's saving us from. Jesus is saving us from hate and fear and everything that keeps us from loving God and loving each other. I don't have enough time to explain the huge significance of how Jesus' death was an act of love, an act of selfless sacrifice and bravery. How his death provides us with deep and complete forgiveness. But if what I'm saying is new to you, or if something is stirred up in you as you think about Jesus this morning, as you have heard this story, then hear this as God prompting you. I encourage you to come up and pray after the service, or get in touch with us and we can explain it further. But don't let this moment pass. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus says these words and embodies them. He embodies the love. Jesus, the one who suffered a hero's death to rescue humanity from a perilous situation, now extends an invitation of love to each one of us. Jesus wants each person to be with him in paradise, in eternity. So will you this morning remember and honour Jesus' sacrifice of love for you? Will you this morning honour his greater love, like the criminal at his side, by putting your trust in him?